Ready for the word this evening? Let's raise our hands together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we believe and receive that there is a fresh flow and a free flow of revelation knowledge. We're not disobedient in hearing your word. We have a heart of a disciple to hear clearly, to see distinctly, to understand, and to do, because we are obedient in our hearts. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we're edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 1, and we are still on the leading of the Spirit. And our emphasis now, I want to take it home, you know, drive it home into. And I want you to pay very good attention, as you always do, to drive it home on this subject. I said there are subjects you can't master them. You don't claim expertise. Leading of the Spirit is one of them. You can't master it. And I was sharing with the leaders last night, and I said to them, and it was so strong in my heart to share with them, and I said, you should feed more on the inward witness, leading of the Spirit. I was saying this in the morning. Was it yesterday evening when I was talking about the supernatural world, and that the way we've disconnected the Old Testament from the New Testament has affected much of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost which you see. Now yesterday, I was going to share this, as I will share today. Yesterday as I was preparing for teaching on the name of Jesus, and I was just doing a study on the angel of the Lord. And I got to, this is very funny. No, this is very interesting. It's not funny. And now, if you've seen us have meetings, I usually play this musicals, like an instrumental, a guy playing keyboard. So it's 24 hours. So I get it on YouTube, so I play. So he just plays songs in the background. I use it in my classes. I use it in my meetings. In fact, sometimes I use it in business meetings, and they feel, what's going on? And nobody can question me, so I used it. So yesterday was very interesting. And as I got to Exodus 3, I just got to Exodus, and I knew it wasn't coincidental. So I got to Exodus 3, and I'm studying Exodus 3, verse 4 and 5. Take off your shoes, for the land you stand on is holy ground. And the background, the keyboard was playing, we are standing. And I smiled. I said, God, you can be very interesting. On holy ground. And I left my Bible and I just knelt down and I said, wow. If we can study more of this, hallelujah. You know, you could see that, you know, the supernatural world was really looking for an expression. You get it? And just, it was the same time. I said, wow, praise the Lord. And some of the things happened there, I'll share that later. And I said, oh, and I know that there, it was just the time I got to that text. So I smiled. Angels all around. Remember one day, my mom later told me the story. It was 1994, I suppose. And, you know, I'll share two things. Let me share the first one. No, let me share this one, okay? So I had this fast. You know, we should actually have experiences, right? Yes, you should. Amen. You should have experiences. It's cool. So, sometimes when I'm sharing, people say, why did God do it? It's just having fun with you. Hallelujah. You know, it's just having fun with you. Just, you know, and I share with my friend in Ghana, Pastor Gilbert, just this afternoon. So we're fellowshipping, and he said to me, he said, I've heard you over the years. He said, I'm not boasting, I've downloaded over 1,000 of your teachings. And he said, but this series, Seated on High, is very different. He said, it's very different. So I smiled. He said, it's very different. I said, I was led to teach it almost to the end of the year. He said, it's obvious. I was saying that today. So, alright. So that year, I was fasting. And I was really, you know, my friends and I, we used to have a friend like that. He's passed on now. And we'll just go and visit him and he say, we have to fast. You got crazy friends like that. You say, hey, today? He say, yes, now. We have to pray and we'll pray and, you know, we had great encounters. So that day, I was in the room. If you visited, you know, our house in the corner, you know, that room, there is a room for everybody. You know that room? The one to the left? All right. Okay. So I was in the room and then the dining table. So my mom and her friend, her name is Mrs. Fashawa, she was in, so they said, who is in the room with me? My mom was now wondering that, I don't know who came in, but this looks like mom. She said, this is not one person. How would you, people come into your room and your house? My mom said she was here, but I was the only one that entered. She said, no, we are hearing voices. People are in there. And I was the only one. So when he said, can I come? I came and said, who is that? I said, nobody. He said, They looked at each other. It's not possible. That there was like a crowd of people inside. And I smiled. Those are supernatural beings. I've shared this story before. They're supernatural. You should have experience. Amen. Glory to God. You should have experiences. Amen. Because it's the word and the manifestations of the spirit. Is that clear? You should. You know, I'll share this now. On Sunday, you know, I've been trying to, you know, reach out to someone for years and I couldn't get the person. So on Sunday morning, as I was on Facebook, I was checking my old posts. So I was trying to, what I do is I just check the whole post and I repost them. So my heart just stuck on one particular post. I'm wondering why. This is the shortest of them. And I knew that there was something on my heart about it. Because your mind picks something from your spirit. I mean, why is this about this post? Am I supposed to share this post? And I felt, nope. Because I'd already put something out similar. So I felt, no. So I went to the post itself. Something I shared in 2009. So as I go to 2009, so I saw a friend of mine, he's still my friend, but I'd known him. He's one of those guys that were at my first convention 30 years ago. He's been to watch the Just Conference before. So I said, okay, this guy, it's been a while I heard from him. So I just felt, click on his profile. All right, then I just clicked on his profile. Maybe just to, for what? Is there a problem? One, is there a problem? So I just kept checking. When last did he get on his profile? So I saw he'd been off for about a year or two. So I saw a name. I said, this is the person I've been looking for years. So I was so excited. So I kind of felt that was why I was led all the way. So I just clicked on, right? And I inboxed the fellow person and I went, hello, this is so-and-so. The fellow said, I can't remember you so well. I said, well, I remember you very well. So as soon as I started the conversation, I mentioned a ministry I served, where I was ordained 28 years ago. And she said, I still can't remember. But I knew that was not why the Lord wanted me to share it too. So I said, what's going on? So we just started a bit, man. Then from the blues, I just heard the voice. In church. I was just about to come up. And God said, ask for account number. I felt, eh? Those are not kind of things you want to be led to do quickly, you know. You know what I'm saying? So I said, you know, someone you haven't seen in years. I think the last time we had a conversation was 26 years ago. So I said, okay, your account number. And she said, oh, she sent it. And then the Lord said, send this amount of money. I felt, Lord, can I do half? Your pastor is just like you, right? Come on. Yeah, he's telling you right now to do something in this service. Don't do half, right? So I'm in that place and I'm saying, oh my God. You know, I said, can I do half today? And end of the month. You know, if an employer of labor, end of the month is not those nice times. Those are times you frown. And you get rejoiced.
I say again, rejoice. I say, oh, beginning of the month? No, 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 end of the month, rejoice. So I'm going, okay.
So, you know, any of you bad ones, I'm going, send that amount of money. And I know God, I've heard God say that to me many times. So I'm like, Lord, today? You know, it's ahead now. So I asked, so as I'm about to type the figure, I'm still thinking, can I sell it in installment? We all are the same, right? You go, Lord, you know, you should understand, God begins to pay in me. And I go, pam, pam, pam. So I did it, cheerful giver in my heart, but not really. So I said it, and then she responded, and she called me, she's in tears. And I said, why? She said, I didn't sleep overnight. That's the exact amount of money that was the creditor's issue. Said, and then she said stories about her children and that she had become sick. She said, the exact amount of money. She called the children and said, look at this. And the children said, mommy, type it. Ask him whether he made a mistake. Because exactly, and she's thanking the Lord. I'm also thanking the Lord. I'm going, oh Lord, you are good. But it was good to be led by the Spirit, right? Amen. It's good to be led by the Spirit of God. And when people are blessed, you go, yeah. It's good to be led by the Spirit of God. Who loves to be led by the Spirit of God? Now, don't just love to be led by the Spirit of God to bless others. Be led by the Spirit of God to do God's will for your life. So I said, wow. And he said, this is what exactly? And then he said to me, we've never had joy like this in a long time. You know, when you hear stuff like that, you go, wow. You know, it's added by click this. And I'm wondering why. You know? And that's how it is. But if you don't know the inward witness, you get it? You think it's my mind. Some Christians say, unch. It's not unch, it's bunch. Stop talking like that. I remember my friend, TJ, he's the same person, he's crazy. He said, someone said, something told me, he said, idiot. Something. The Holy Ghost. That's the way of teaching. So how can you call God something? Born again, God is talking to you. Okay, God said, you know, that thing, I'll slap you. What thing? How can you say something? Born again. Stop that nonsense. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. Something was just telling me to go to the right. Something was just something. Do you like anyone to call you something? Hallelujah. Be confident that you are led by the Spirit of God. Is that clear? So we should have, you know, supernatural experiences. So yesterday, I felt real good. Hallelujah. You know, supernatural people were just like, you know, come on. We love these things. Amen. We were there. Moses saw Jesus. We were there, you know. Like, hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew's Gospel 1. You in church? Amen. So I was telling my friend today, I said, you must never talk down on experiences. Live experience. Supernatural encounters. Supernatural experiences. It's all about them is that it defies your knowledge. You don't have to know so much theology. You know, you don't have to. Some of them, you now are able to explain them years down the line. Glory to God. Matthew's Gospel 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, he says here, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, that is, again, a rendering that takes you back to the Old Testament. And we must know how to use the Old Testament positively and properly the way the writers of the scriptures, the four gospels, the book of Acts, the epistles, used it. Matthew 28, you see something here. Now 20 says, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded, lo, I am with you always till the end of the world. Always. I am with you. And we said that word I am is God's Exodus redemptive name. It's, you can call it Yahweh. Okay? You can call it Almighty God. So Jesus identifies himself here. So Matthew starts by talking about his humanity. Jesus closes by speaking about his divinity, the deity and his humanity together. In other words, that means the four Gospels is an account of God's humanity and humanity with God and God in humanity. Mark's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, we're there this morning if you were around. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, he uses the word beginning. Of course, Matthew 1:1, he says the book of the generation. We say that word, genealogy, is the word Genesis, Greek word Genesis. It's similar to Genesis 5:1, the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man in likeness and image of him created he them. So which means Matthew, he's saying, I'm interpreting Jesus from Genesis. Mark is saying the same thing. I'm interpreting Jesus from Genesis. Mark 16 and verse 19. So then after the Lord, and we said this on Friday last week, that he identifies him as the Lord. Lord is Adonai, or Adonai in the Hebrew, or Yahweh. So he's the Son of God, Mark 1:1. He is Yahweh, Mark 16:19. He calls him Lord in heaven, Lord of heaven and the earth. That is why he went up to heaven. So again, he opens up with his divinity, humanity, divinity, humanity. And it says on the right hand of God. The right hand of God is also another name for God's visibilities. Right hand of God. And it says here in 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with, the Lord walking with, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. If you've been following our stories in the name of Jesus, this should be clear to you. The Lord walking with and confirming the word. Here we have Luke. Luke here, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth not the declaration of those things which had most surely believed among us, even as he delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Of course, the audience here is Gentile. That is why in Luke's Gospel 4, an account that none of the other synoptic has, or even John, he talks about Jesus in Isaiah 61. He's the only one. And the critical thing about Isaiah 61, which he quotes in Luke 4:18, is that he gets to verse 19 and he skips of a crucial place where the Gentile judgment was there in Isaiah. He doesn't talk about it. Those guys are upset because according to Luke here in 22, Jesus spoke gracious words concerning the non-Jews, the Gentile nation. He is in Galilee, all right, Luke 4:14, Galilee of the nations, and he doesn't pass judgment, not yet. And so they're upset. They're upset. And then they wonder what he's saying. So he said, a prophet is not without honor, 24, Luke 4, except in his own country, Moses also. Then he gives a story of two people. Widow of Zarephath, Gentile. Naaman, Gentile. That's what he says, two of them. And they got really upset, wanted to kill him. So that means Luke has a Gentile narrative. Luke gives us the content of Jesus' gospel that related with the Gentiles. So don't forget again, Luke gave us the same account that Matthew gave us in Matthew 10, verse 1. He sent out the 12. Interestingly, when he sent out the 12, he told them not to go to the Samaritans, not to go to the Gentiles, but to go to the lordship of the house of Israel. However, Luke now tells us that Jesus sent another 70 in Luke 10:1 and sent them to everywhere. Now, of course, like we said last week, there's an assumption that the writers of scripture have, or the epistles, or the New Testament, as we call them, they have an assumption that you are reading the Old Testament. So ensure that that assumption is correct. Because you cannot read the New Testament like it stands on its own. It does not. The New Testament is taken from the Old Testament book. So you can't read it on its own. If you do, you get it wrong. So I gave this illustration on Sunday, I gave it yesterday and today again. Like, it's like if you're in the fifth year, the fifth year of, now I've used law twice now, I think. The fifth year of the medical school, that's the 500 level. I think it's worse. You guys do pediatrics? Have they emptied doctors from this place?
I used to see them in abundance here before.
Jake has taken them away.
Okay, let's find somewhere else. Okay, law, I'm going back to law. That's the one. That's the one I can't make an error. So you're in the fifth year. You can't find the 500 level fifth year lecturer who is supposed to teach jurisprudence, right? Company law. And then he's now saying, NWLR. It means, Nigerian Weekly Law Reports. He can't say that. That's something you ought to have learned in your first year. So he's just going to use phrases that he believes you know. Because he believes you didn't just show up in the fifth year from nowhere. Ba-bam, bam. Now in 500 level. I didn't write jam. That's a decarnation, not an incarnation. So he has his assumption that you've been in the first, second, third, and fourth year. So he's going to speak in terms that will summarize things you have learned before. Is that clear? So now see the 500 level lecturer as the writer of the epistles who assumes that you have been reading the Old Testament and you understand it. So that's what we came up with, the concept of, we said, the codified language, the identification unifiers, and where we said codified language is an assumption that you have read the Old Testament, ends the use of summaries. So I gave you the illustration that, for example, we are writing books that are in series. This is our God series, Understand That's What Thou Readest, Charismatic Ministry, then volumes. Now, there are many times we seek to repeat things said in the earlier book, but we cannot quote everything verbatim. So we make a reference. We use a simple phrase and we direct you back to the first book. Now, naturally we shouldn't do that. The reason why we do that is because some will have the second volume, they don't have the first one. But naturally we shouldn't do that because it's just like your school books. They won't say, as it is said when you were in year one. Nobody's going to say that. It's believed you were in year one. But we have to do that because some will have it. They don't have the first volume. So the writers of the New Testament will not give you any references. Not at all. They will use the shorthand or call it the codified language. That's what they're going to do. It's now incumbent on you to read the Old Testament properly. And I'll tell you this. The first safest rule is to read the Old Testament without the New Testament. Then to read the New Testament with the Old Testament. That's how to do it. So I said to you earlier on that Luke has used a method here that everybody does. There was no one who wrote scripture that carried a recorder with them and they were writing everything and then God didn't give them words. He silences. I'll take a Bible. A pen, sorry. Nigerians say Bible. God save the Lord. I God. Stop there. Put full stop. No. Not at all. In many instances, the authors or the names given as authors are just the primary characters, not the writers themselves. And so what happens, just like Lucas said here, he gets, you know, the information from those who were there. That happened to Moses. It happened to many writers, many characters and personalities like that in the Old Testament. And we said earlier on today, if you were in church, that the influence of other books that the authors read will be seen in their writings. Okay. So Luke has just done that here. He said, look, I got it from those who were there. So what does Luke do? He now puts it in an intelligent way. Now, if these folks wrote down what Jesus said or the people said verbatim, you will not understand it. So what they have done is to take what they have said in different instances and put it in a format that is, you know, academically sound, intelligent enough for you to understand it. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? Okay, Luke 24 again. And verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Luke does the same thing. Now, Luke's method is different from Matthew and Mark. They start with RK and Genesis. He ends with RK, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, found them in all scriptural things concerning himself. Then in 44, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with that all things must be fulfilled, which is the law of Moses,
Paul's telling Sam. So he takes us back to the beginning to read it like Genesis. He opened it the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have said that the Word here is not the logic or logikos, should I say, or the word logos from Heraclitus, which is a Greek word. It's first of all an Hebrew terminology, Daba Yahweh, which we have studied means God visible. And I think in the morning I tried to give you a new way to call it. God the Word, the Lord the Word, rather than the Word of God, the Lord the Word, the Lord as the Word. That is, He is the Word, but He is the Lord. So, He means the visible God, like to Abraham, to Moses, precisely to Samuel, and then of course to Jeremiah, He's visible, Elijah, is visible to them. So it says He became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In John 20, have your ears open to this, this is going to make sense. Where in His resurrection in 22, He breathed on, and I told you, I said, if you use a breathe on, there is emphusal, which has a single mention. Now, I said this before, while it is true that where the New Testament is silent, be silent. But I told you before that sometimes the silence is not exactly silence. If you read the New Testament and the Old Testament together, you will see that it's not not be a silence. Just like emphasize used just once. You breathe on. But if you go to the Old Testament where the books are derived from, and I said you have the Septuagint. Septuagint is a Greek rendering of the Old Testament books. And if you have all these apps, software that, you know, the compressed study of what they have, elaborate studies for you, and you throw in emphasal in the search engine, you will see a lot of places where it's used. You see it used, for example, in blowing coal, blowing fire, you know, keeping something alive. You see that. But that's an inanimate object, so it can't be directly interpreted here. But you see instances, Genesis 2:7 being the first one, where God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, emphusal, Greek. And Ezekiel 37 and verse 9, from verse 5 read to verse 9. So you see that what John is saying here is Jesus is God. Just like Luke would say, He opened either understanding, Dianogio. And I told you, Dianogio is exactly, the first place you're going to see Dianogio is Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5, where the eyes of Adam and Eve were opened and they saw the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was good. So Dianogio, so it's a spiritual thing. So the devil opened their eyes. But you also see it used in 2 Kings 6, where the eyes of Gehazi was opened to see what was around. That's the closest actually. The eyes were opened. So now, the devil opens it, which is not, Jesus isn't the devil, but you've seen God open eyes. And so, by using Jesus opened their eyes, Luke 24, 31, 32, Luke 24, 45, it's saying that He's God. So, by using emphasis to describe Jesus, two critical elements are here. He is God. And secondly, right, you can interchange Him for the Spirit. Now look at carefully now. It says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But yet, in Luke 24, He opened He their understanding to what? The things concerning Himself. And they were, from the things concerning Himself, they're instructed to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I won't have more time on this, but if you read the Old Testament, there is a connection between Jesus in the Old Testament and the Spirit. There is a connection. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of the Lord over the face of the waters. And we said that is the Exodus experience of Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, verse 9, and 10 through to verse 16. So you have Jesus and the Spirit interchangeably used. I won't have more time on this, but we've been studying this already. In Romans chapter 8, you have, let's see Isaiah 63, so that I don't rush that too much. Isaiah 63. You in church? Isaiah 63. I'm reading verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which had bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. Now, look at this now. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Now we studied this now. And the angel of his presence saved him. That's the angel of the Lord in Exodus 20, verse 21 and 20. 21, 21. 20, 21. Saved them in his love and he in his pity. He redeemed them. He bore them. He carried them all the days of old. Now look at 10. They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So it interchanges that servant who is God with the Spirit. So in Romans chapter 8, watch this. Romans chapter 8, you find Paul interchange the words in 9. Now of course in verse 1, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Then it says verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life. So life and spirit in Christ. So in verse 8, you are not in the flesh, but so that in the flesh, I can't preach, sorry. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So in Christ is interchanged with what? In the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, so you have Christ and the spirit interchangeably used. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ, throws in Christ and throws in Jesus from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So you have that word, you have Jesus sometimes interchanged with spirit, and they're not the same. Now you have 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 6. He's talking about the New Testament. Then he says, we're able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So when you get to verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So you have the Lord is that Spirit. Because Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6 as well. Now, like I did explain on Sunday, and I did also on Friday and Saturday, in John 14, you'll see this interchangeably used. And this gives you the idea that the writers and the teachers and the speakers are teaching from the Old Testament books, John 14. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now we said that another comforter, allos paracletos. The word saying there is similar to Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the same, one. Okay? So that's the same, the one there is not one like single one, is same. So here we say another comforter. So the question is he talking about the Spirit, the Father, or the Son? If you read closely, that he may abide with you forever. Now look at it. I will pray. Look at how it sounds. Let me show you. Let me demonstrate it for you. Watch this now. Watch this, please. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. He will give you that he may abide with you forever. That he, the Father, may abide. He will give you that he may abide with you forever. Now he says in 17, even the Spirit of truth. That the world cannot see, because it sees him not, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. Then he says in 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come. So who is he talking about? The Father, the Spirit, or himself? 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me and I in you. So another comforter, or comforter, is a synonym of talking about the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead. Because in John 16 or John 15, 26, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. That's what he says. Yet in 15, 26, and when the comforter is come, I will send to you from the Father. I will send to you from the Father. Then John 16, 7, The comforter will not come. If I depart, I will send him to you. Can you see the interchanges? They're just interchangeably used. Because he's talking about the three persons in God. Yet in 1 John 2, verse 1, these things I write unto you, little children, you see not. If any man sin, we have a comforter with the Father, and it says Jesus. So who is the comforter? God. God as Father, Son, and Spirit. Does it make sense? Huh? That's what it is. So, therefore, in John 8:12, out of that now, John 8:12. Hallelujah. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Now, he picks that from Genesis 1:3. Light be. Because the word light be there is me light. That's what it is. I am the light of the world. So watch this now. What's going on in 2? 2. So light. We'll teach you more of this through the Workers' Convention. Light is the opposite of chaos. So light is order. Light is direction. So, the Lord is my light. Amen? What about you? The Lord is my light. He doesn't give light. He is light. If he gives light, he gave himself. Alright? So, now notice in verse 2, it's the Spirit. So, you find the Father of lights. Jesus, I am the light. The Spirit is light. So you have Genesis 1-2, where you have chaos, tohu bohu, chaos. Now chaos is also explained as darkness. Darkness. Hallelujah. See, there's no chaos in my life. Chaos. Confusion. Glory to God. Confusion. Like that song, rather says, I'm not confused. Glory to God. You know, have you seen people, have you heard someone call out a name? Now, there's no way, my name is Shekel, for example. Those who knew me in the 80s and 90s will call me Muyiwa, that's what they call me. Now, some will call me Chris. My grandmother, who is not here and is not anywhere around here, will call me another kind of name. So, I'm not likely going to hear that other name. I'm not telling you what it is. You are waiting for me to say. You know, so, but if I hear someone say, Shogo Bamila, I will say, eh? You know why? Because it doesn't register in my mind. But if I hear, there was one guy like that who came from church, and he said, Pressman! I look back. He said, shall I press? I just look back, you know, it's one GCI boy. So again, we all said, oh, what are you doing here? So he came up with his wife. I said, I'm just respecting your wife. Yeah. I'll have called you the name we used to call you. You know, there was one guy like that I saw in the UK. He was my classmate. We used to call him Auntie Bosse. Because he used to be like, but now he's grown, he's, you know, heavily built. So I said, Auntie Bosse, I said, who's that? I said, hello, share. You know, because, so, you know, there are names. No, so, you can have nicknames, but none of your nicknames is confused. Is that clear? They say, I'm just confused. Naming ceremony. So when you say, I am not confused, like you are calling your name. I am not confused. Hallelujah. So there's chaos. Chaos is confusion. It's called darkness. Let me explain. You see, you've never seen darkness before. I know you say, ah, sir, you've never. If you see, nobody has seen darkness. If there, darkness. Darkness. I mean, I've seen some kind of darkness before. Remember in my secondary school, we went to what we call the Boland. Boland is where you do shot put. Now you don't know what it means. This is codified language and that's all I'm doing. You know, it's too codified to be, there's an assumption.
in your favor. So me and this fellow, and we were so dark. It was the last day of the term. So dark. So dark, but we saw something. Eyeballs. And I just said, you know, and I said, the eyeballs in the back, move it closer. Yeah. I said, you know, and you know, boys and pranks. I said, uh-oh. I can't forget. See, we got a werewolf here. You know, very silly. Guy said, werewolf. Oh, let me show you the rest. We ran like that back to the hostel. And we went, you know, but that wasn't dark. Dark means there is no, you won't see anything. It's not the one you use touchlight. Nothing. Now, you see how the sun, moon, no, dark. Where there is no glimmer of knowing what to do. Chaos. Chaos means you're just trying everything. Chaos. Like Israel, they will move from this God, sap that God. Chaos. And that can also reflect in your life, your kind of decisions. There was a guy, I sat him there, I said, what's really wrong with you? I mean, you got to a point. There was someone like that. She got to a point, she wanted to leave Nigeria at all costs. Any country. What is the problem? Any country. So, one time, she was not trying to hide the passport. So I said, bring it. So I saw what was there. We're going to take them to one place in, I think, Middle East. She didn't even investigate. When we investigated, they take you to a farm. Collect your passport. You know, don't get that way. I must go anyway. I must go in. I've seen people do stuff like that. I must go. I must do it. It must happen. It doesn't happen. And they move from one place. I said, but you told me last year. This is what God said. Yes, sir. I prayed again. Chaos. I don't live in chaos. Glory to God. There's nothing like knowing where you are going to. There's nothing that, nothing. Just, I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. So there can't be any form of intimidation. So you have chaos. Alright? Darkness. So darkness is chaos. Tohu bohu. Disorder. Disorder. And disorder produces strivings. Disorder. And one of the ways you know disorder is anxiety. You're just anxious. Anxiety. You're expecting something bad to happen. Anxiety, fear. So you begin to take actions in anxiety. Anxiety. And people have done stuff like that. Anxiety. Have you seen sometimes in Lagos, they're just going to say, everybody's just turning back, and they don't know why. Someone just turned back, and he's, did I tell you the story of this friend that was pushing for, there was a bomb blast? I told you this service. Just said, bah, 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 bah. I told you this service. And they didn't know. Just said, hey. And the pastor. He was the first person that went, boom, boom, boom. And that's how he got POP. But he asked a pastor who I knew. He just said, the Lord told him, go and stay near the keyboard. And he stood there. And he just stood there. And the keyboard was not hurt. And the brother. But every other person, they were rushing out of the door. And there was nothing close to where they were. Everybody just got injury from fear. How did you get injured? Fear, oh. Why did you break your leg? Anxiety, oh. You know, you just, hey, oh, a lot of stuff like that. And it's chaos. Confusion. Disorder. Hallelujah. Something happens in the world. You should respond by the Spirit. What's God saying? God will not talk to you through CNN. Or Nollywood. He won't do that. Say, that's what I was praying about. So he says, he separated the light from the darkness. Glory to God.
The word Badal. He severed the light from the darkness. Look at Exodus 14. So light and darkness is about direction. Exodus 14. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. Now look at 20. Let's take 20 and slowly. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Are you there now? Let's go. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to this. See that? So darkness is the Lord of those who don't have God's leading. So darkness describes chaos. Psalm 82. Psalm 82 describes supernatural beings. I'm going to read this from the Septuagint again, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. God stood, verse 1, in the assembly of the gods, and in the middle he judges the gods. Now I'm going to read verse 5. They did not know, notice it, Psalm 82 verse 5, they did not know, nor did they understand. In darkness they passed through. The foundations of the earth were shaken. They did not know. They did not understand. See, I walk in understanding. 1 John 5:20 says, the Son of God has come and has given to us an understanding. There's no chaos in my life. Hallelujah. No chaos. So chaotic. Some lives are chaotic. You know, in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 60. And then verse 2 says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So God separates me from the world by the leading of his spirit. Hallelujah. There's no anxiety in it, right? Not at all. No fear in it. Glory to God. Amen. See, I don't have indecision. I don't walk in indecision. There are believers like that. They have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. This one won't enter. Doesn't enter. This one, then what? Why are you born again? This one. This one won't work. So you don't have any, there was no consistent pattern in their lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So darkness is a spiritual thing. When you don't see, you're not going to grow in the dark. So the leading of the Spirit has a particular emphasis, is light. There's direction. There's clarity. Is that clear? There's clarity. So now let's see the rudiments of the leading of the Spirit. Now I'm going to go into very important details, because sometimes when you say, are you being led? You know, some guys may not know what we're even talking about. Look at Luke 4. Let's see how Jesus was led. You can know that you are led. You can know that you are not led. Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How did Luke know he was led? How? Which means a third party can know if you are led. Luke knew he was led. How did Luke know he was led? You know why? Because Luke saw him do what Israel did. So which means, when you are being led, there will be examples. So Luke saw that this is Israel. Jesus embodies Israel. So he saw that this is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Deuteronomy 8 and 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Luke is saying this is what is happening to Jesus. So he is led just like Israel. And notice that when he was resisted by the devil, said tempted by the devil, he speaks from the same Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6:13, 6:16, particularly 8:3. In fact, Luke 4, the way it's arranged, Matthew 4, so you know that they are seeing his leading. Don't forget, we said there is motif, right? So the leading of God will have a motif in scripture, a pattern. So the leading of the Spirit of God has a scriptural pattern. Are you following what I'm saying? So as you are being led by the Spirit of God, you will see the scriptural pictures and patterns. He was led, Matthew 4:1, up of the Spirit into the wilderness of the tent of the devil. Then the first is man shall not live by bread alone, verse 4, but by every word. Matthew 4, Luke 4, same thing. Luke 4:4. So which means by that first scripture, it's Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's follow what I'm saying here. Let me see your hand. Come on. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So which means the leading of the Spirit of God for you will take the same path. Jesus was led where Israel was led. You will be led where Jesus was led. Paul was led where Jesus was led. So therefore, the light of the world of Genesis 1:3 is the light that you still have. So you will see, watch what I'm about to say, when you are led by the Spirit of God, you will see patterns where? In scripture. You will see the pattern. Jesus had the pattern of scripture. Learning something? So you have, look at a few instances now. Romans 15. This is about Jesus' life. Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, don't forget that in this Romans chapter, Luke 4 and Matthew 4, they don't say Jesus was led just like Israel. They make as an assumption, right? That you are reading the Old Testament. So here again, Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for he is good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So he is in Psalm 69. Let's go there together. Psalm 69 and verse 9. This is another person entirely. That is David. Psalm 69 verse 9. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Remember, they said this to Jesus in John 2. John 2 and verse 17. They knew that Jesus was being led just like David. So which means a third party can know that I'm being led. Because being led will have a pattern where? In scripture. Sorry. Because look at me. whatever path you're following in life, you are not the first person. God had led people this way. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on, you getting it? So you have Psalm 69, the repose of thee and falling upon me. Jesus is led the same way. He's led the same way. He's tempted of the devil. Oh yeah, he's led the same way. Before we get another one, look at Acts 1. They want to choose. You know, Jesus, we're not told that Jesus said, so you guys, you are still 11, you ought to be 12, Judas has died, what are you going to do? So, let's assume they're in the service and they're going. And then everybody picks up an impression. Guys, Jesus picked 12 of us, right? Yeah, why? He picked 12 of us because the 12 signifies Israel. But now we are 11. Oh, so and as they're talking like that, they don't have to say, God said. But what's going on? It's a prompting of the Spirit. Come on. And then they go. And Peter gets up, spiritual authority, Acts 1, 15. And in 16 he says, men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. He was numbered with us, obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity and falling headlong. He burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. It was all known in the world. So he goes on and says, in 20, it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So they go to scripture and they are led by the Spirit the way predecessors or foreigners were led. So, now what's the leaders of the Spirit? They are led by the Spirit to replace Judas. It's just like sometimes you have a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, and two people say, it's me. Then they go, Lord, which one of these two? Again, in that leading, there was just general leading. Then they go to specific. Then they go to human tumim and say, which one exactly? It's this guy. So look at the patterns of leading. Same thing. Okay? So there's a pattern to it. The choice of the apostles. In John 13, Jesus is led by the Spirit to be betrayed. John 13. He's betrayed just, verse 18, he's betrayed just like David. Psalm 41, verse 9. He's betrayed just like David. Where he's born, Matthew knew this is just like Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. When they leave for Egypt and come back, Matthew knew this is Hosea 11:1. This is just like Israel. So anytime I'm led by the Spirit of God, it will be like. Because we've said it here, that leading of the Spirit of God does not fulfill my desire, it fulfills God's plan. And God's plan is in scripture. Now, we're going to see the instance of specific things now. But generally know that the leading of the Spirit of God in your life will be according to the written word. You will find the pattern. So watch this now. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, Jesus gets up and Luke 4, 18, referring to Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But Isaiah's the one who said it. So Jesus is standing in the place of Isaiah. Led by the Spirit. So when we're led by the Spirit, we stand in God's plan as revealed in scripture. So we're going to see individuals who now become motif examples, illustrations. If I were going to get to this in a moment. When you are full of the word, you just find out that when God's leading you, those scriptures and stories will just come to your heart. Who's following what I'm saying here? They'll just come to your heart. It will be like Lord is leading you through a story in scripture. You say, oh, oh, oh yeah, And then you find out. And that's the leading of the Spirit. Watch this. So, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul talks about different instances. He said, these things happen to them. Look at it. As examples. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. That they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Our admonition. So, God's Spirit, when, we're going to see this shortly, when He's admonishing you, let's say correcting you, He will use these examples. I like something that Joseph Priest said one time, Joseph Priest, and he blessed me. He said, yeah, it's true that God uses His word to correct us. He said, but what if you don't know it? And that thing, he said, He will have to use your experiences. It's tough, but He has to use it. What if you don't know it? What if you don't, He will still lead you anyway. So at that point, it will be like, rather than the word, it will be your experiences that He will use. But He is always leading you. Okay? So here, He has given experiences. So there are times when God's leading, He will use your experiences, but a lot of times, He will use other people's experiences in scripture that you ought to have known. That is why it's almost, someone was asking me today, and one of us, and said she has a disciple who has this experience and claims saw Jesus. And she's almost convinced that the person didn't see Jesus. I said, don't say it to people, believe their experiences. I said, if you say, it's not Jesus, he is bad Jesus, the person won't talk to you again. So what do I do? You have to be patient. You will spend time to explain God's word. Because I mentioned this in service on Sunday. There was someone who kept talking to me. And she said, hey, so and so said. So she had this prophetess over. That's why there's something you should never do. I know this is funny what I'm about to say. Don't backslide. It will be terrible. The thing about this instance was that it came out of, you know, when, you have to be careful. Let me tell you where you can easily get into the hands of the devil. And many of us don't know how to handle failed expectations. And it gets destructive. And today, when I have the course to talk to younger people, because I do some speaking. I'm going to do a few years. In fact, I got involved in something recently. I'll share it with you later. That has to do with mentoring little people in their thousands. And I was telling them, one of the problems now is we have a generation of young people that want things to happen tomorrow. And the more it doesn't happen, they get really upset. And they get destructive. Destructive in manners, in behavior, and in conduct. You see, when your expectations are not met, maybe you failed an exam. I remember I sat someone down, a person that failed an exam. I said, the problem you had was you never imagined you could fail. Say yes. But why not look at it like God wants to deal with pride? Never. So the person, you know, went into things that he could never have imagined. So when expectations have failed, things you wanted, you know, you had, you know, when you were in primary school, you had set by 8:25. You know what I'm saying? By 8:25, I would have done it, someone said one day, he said, what I'm thinking is when I do 2 years in UK, I do 3 years in Canada, it means it's sweet, as it candy, job is taking it. So by 16th of our usually, when that expression is not met, people can get really distressed. I have learned to handle disappointments easily. And over there, I just said, so what do we do? About one place I was sharing with some youth, I said, that is why burying the dead is good. You know, sometimes when someone dies, you are still talking about the person. If you ever go to the cemetery, it now dawns on you when they are putting the body. Is that still the person just died? He was just crying. No, you still eat food after. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Especially I'm not met. And that can happen. A couple, husband and wife, they are planning, our dream home, our dream, everything is still a dream. Our dream is one, this one, this one, this one. Suddenly something happened they didn't expect. And then different manners and behavior because they don't handle it well. So this particular person, very active, very fire. So something happened in the natural. Just went gaga. All sorts. Calm down. No, and the person will not even talk about it. So now got in the hands of a prophetess. And that prophetess will now sit in to come to power. So she was now talking to me, who is meant to be like a teacher and a mentor. She said, she said, to me, sir, I know that people don't know the word, sir. But I said, you that used to give people word of knowledge, you are now saying prophetess said. At that point, I asked the question. It was very early in the morning, like 5 a.m. I said, are you sure? In fact, the day I asked, I said, is this the Spirit of God? It was here in Yaba. I said, is this the Spirit? Are you sure we are dealing with the Spirit of God? I said, Pastor, if it's not the Spirit of God, I will know. I said, so I knew because I had experienced one sister like that. I think she, I even spoke to her recently. That was 28 years ago, 29 years ago. She said she saw Jesus. The way she said, and she was already crying. Jesus, I said, if you say no here, there's going to be trouble. Say, it's not Jesus. It's not King. Say Jesus. So I started to study with this person gradually. I was teaching. So with our mouth, there's nothing like the person's mouth. Say, so mommy, what? Say, eh? So that was just I saw. I said, Allah Akbar. In fact, that day we were in the mosque when I said it. Say, no, Jesus. So this time, the person was saying, this is the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. If you say, it's not the Holy Ghost, then just do it in honor. Yes, sir. I will now be going to hear the Spirit behind you. So I just made that comfortable. Just be saying it. Let me hear it. So I will now flow. I say, wow. So I just kept teaching the word. She'll come there. We're having meetings at Yabatek guest house. Yeah. I just was doing the series. I'll be teaching. That was 2003. I'll be teaching. And then the person was so close to her. So one day, she said she wanted to travel. She was coming to Lagos. She was still in Lagos. And the person said, just knew she was going to travel. All those familiar spirits. So you want to travel. The Lord is saying there's going to be blood on the road. She laughed. She said, there's another one I want to say, before I forget that one. That one I just saw, this one, this man of God that it happened to, still was my enemy for years. I just saw this. I didn't know who he was. I just had a vision and I said, somebody's going to come and ask you to marry him. He's going to use his example. He's going to say, Philip saw chariot, John Lee's chariot. I can't forget it. Now, if Pastor Ola is here, she will know this story, she'll start laughing. Because we know the person, Pastor Funkeh knows this person. Some other people know this person. I think Odubela knows this person. So, and I said, So by the next day, this emoji just approached her and said, she was not laughing. Now, the silly girl, she's still my friend, she now said, somebody had told me. 1998. The guy beefed me for a long time. We resolved it a bit in 2010. I'm not joking though. The guy was not saying, he said this guy is a false teacher. He's a false. For years he was saying I was a false teacher. I knew what the problem was. Oh no, easy. Woman matter. I knew that was the problem.
So, it's a false doctrine. I knew where it was coming from. Anyway. So, you know, people, first of all, people call you false teachers because they are Chelsea fans. Okay, well, I said, so I just kept looking. And that be teaching. So she came here. So one day this woman said, I saw you on the road. She said, because unknown to me, of course, known by the Holy Ghost, I had spoken about that in one of the services. She told her, I am leaving. I now use a story that day. That's why it's good to be led when you are even giving the illustration. I gave a story when I went to a church in Ibadan and I was preaching. And two people were preaching, was a video. And a man just got up and said, the Lord is saying that anybody that travels the next 3 months will die. Eh? I hate things like that. Don't come and threaten me. Don't do it. Now somebody was going to cancel me. Was going to cancel me. Was a senior minister. I was on the phone. He said, let me tell you, Shegun. He said, what happened? I said, hey! Not at this age. I know how the devil talks now. Now he won't make me afraid. I can't be afraid. See, I can't be afraid. God is with me. I knew it personally. I faced problems and God was with me. You, Keke Gundimo. I'll tell you the story of Keke Gundimo later. So when she said that, she said, when I said the story that, when the man said, don't travel, and I left the band on that day, that I wasn't planning to come to Lagos, and I got to Oshodi, and I went back. It's good to confront things like that, because you just live in the fear. I just got to Oshodi, bam. And funny enough, as we were going, the time was saying, I said, you won. You will get to Lagos. You know, one of the things that gave me a lot of confidence in life, as a young Christian, I didn't know anything. I was just singing songs. Somebody now told me later that he put poison in my food 3 times. I didn't know any in him. Who is him? You know anything like that? And I ate it. I mean, a young boy, boarding house. Nobody will give you food, but you won't eat. Why? I was eating the thing, the person now confessed. And I just tell myself that, with knowing nothing, I walked in the supernatural. Now, someone can say someone was praying for me. It's the same thing. It's in the supernatural. So don't come and don't threaten me. Don't threaten me. You are who? So when I told the story, the moment the woman said to her, you have done this, going to happen, that illustration just came back as God's leading. She laughed. She now left for Lagos, came for the service. She didn't tell me, because she had told me that, you know, this woman has said, if I travel, I'll have said, let's agree. I don't know why I said, I'll just say something. She didn't say anything, she just laughed. She went back. That was how the spell was broken. From that point, prophecy didn't come again. Do you understand? She now said, it's not good to backslide though. And you backslide, and you will think that it's Pastor Umi that offended you. You know those kind of things. And it's not that Pastor offended you. It's Pastor Umi that offended you. You are not smoking. It's Pastor this one that did something. Shut up. Is it because of the pastor that you are married to a Muslim? Don't say that. The offense just came to justify something you wanted to do wrong. Are you here? So, how did I get here? You have those things to come back to you. Don't backslide though. Please don't backslide. Don't be a caricature. What is this? You. How? How did it happen? What did you do? You are not the person say, I'm not sure whether it's God. Are you? I said, when you are spending time, you are waking up. Time you should spend to pray in tongues. It's now for makeup. Time for the word. You are now on Instagram, TikTok, 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 Facebook. Time you spend. You can't get the two that way. Before you know it, anything, you now be afraid. Hold on, I'm sure. Hold on. Because of what you are feeding on. So, those things will come at us. Right? But the leading of the Spirit is, you will just see yourself, you'll be seeing the pictures. I was saying, Joseph Prince, what he said, Pastor Joseph Prince of the pastor in Singapore. He said, when
You are not full of the word. You will have to learn by experience. But when we are full of the word, even when the experience are not palatable, you will know the word of God is on this matter. Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not be part out of your mouth. You know, listen. As a believer, there are two areas of your life you cannot underestimate: your heart and your mouth. You are only as sharp as your heart and your mouth. You know, we had blind people in the Bible who were seeing supernaturally. They couldn't see. Jacob could not see physically, but he knew who to bless. So what he could see, those whose eyes were sharp could not see it. So if you're just training your eyesight, another, and the real eyesight you don't have. You don't have it. You have Isaac, same thing. He knew, the Lord has blessed the boy. Because don't forget, the eyesight missed it. But the Holy Ghost got it for Isaac. So you must see. I like how E.W. Kenyon said it. He said the order can't change. It's the spirit, the soul, and the body. And of course, I don't teach it in that format again. But you see, the point is, the spirit, then the mind. You can't put the mind as Lord over your spirit and walk in God's plan. You can't. So it says, this God, Lord, shall depart out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. So your mouth, you can't be led by the Spirit and your mouth is quiet. You're always talking. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I walk in the light as it's in the light. I walk in the light. As it's, not the one that you're just singing to have fun. You know, you can be singing to have fun. In the light. Ah, my bell. As it is in the light. You know, it's, the song is just enjoyment. You're just enjoying the song. I know what to do. All that I do. How do we now do this thing now? I'm not confused. So you are just enjoying the song. You are enjoying the song. So it shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate. Agar. That's the use of your heart. Day and night. Where your heart, you see, your heart has to be loud. How do you know your heart is loud? By what you say. And let me say this. One brother told us, Shock said, he said, if you want to know whether you can meditate or not, find out what you do when you are anxious. You are worried. Hey, that means you know how to meditate. Because that is meditation. When you speak loud, and you're talking to yourself. All of us, we talk to ourselves. And we're not mentally problem. So say, I'll get there. You know, before you go, say, just say, I'll go. And you're not going to anybody. You say, I'll get to Lagos and I'll, okay. Maybe I should. You're talking to yourself. That is meditation. Meditation. Day and night. Now, Joshua 1:8. He says, you'll make your way prosperous. It's a journey. And have good success. The word good success in the Hebrew was sakal. Sakal. Sakal means you will deal wisely with the affairs of life. You would deal prudently. One of the ways, guys, look at this. One of the ways you will know that you are walking in the flesh, you just become careless. Carelessness, and you are not a wise, let me say, steward of time. This is here. You will deal wisely with the affairs of life. Look at what it says. Meditate. Meditate. Let me ask you, how did the apostles know what to do? They were meditating on the word. And were they led by the Spirit? Yes. By the word. In Acts 4, when they threatened them, some brethren will say, let's call Pastor Lan. You don't know that joker? Okay, don't worry. Don't let me tell you so that you won't go and do it. Let's call this person. They say, how would they come and say? They say we should not preach. Is all right now. Okay, in the ministry. Say, we should not preach. Is all right now. Nobody can. It's not our country. It's our country. You see, you have gone to the flesh. Oh. You are now acting like human rights activists. It's our country. We cannot. See, in secondary school, and I'm grateful to God for those foundations of secondary school. For the time, people just came up and said they'll stop preaching. They'll stop preaching. That they threw out the fellowship from school. They was going to meet outside. You know, and the funny thing was, many of us who were leaders were prefects. So it was very easy to say, let's go and do something. But we didn't. We just started fasting. I remember we now had prayer chain. Where necessary. Prayer chain. So we pray 24 hours a day. So we take groups, two hours. We say we'll pray till that thing is lifted. One teacher came to me. He said, I would rather die than have you guys preach. You are just converting everybody. I said, you won't die, sir, but you will leave. He left. Oriwu College, one teacher came to me, 1993 or so. He said, the fellowship you are holding here, I will make sure. I said, you are not going to be here again, sir. He said, because we are sent here. They moved the man the next week. He said, that boy is using jazz. You know, imagine secondary school, we prayer chain. I remember me and Charlie Pei, we were in a group together. So 24 hours, we pray. So you leave, we hand over to some other two people, they will pray, two hours. We say, then we add some songs. Let God arise. And his enemies be, forget exegesis here. And then his prayer point. For every principle, there's a principality. Prayer point. Oh God, that the gospel will thrive in this place. Now with light of the word, you know, we already have the character. So the word makes it better. The word cannot make you less fervent. No. No. So you meditate on the word. When you have said, Pastor Wale, let's use wisdom. Oh, this one that they are threatening everybody. Maybe it's the way we are preaching. You know, maybe the way, you know, you have alternatives. You have people that you see on TV, they are preaching offense, nobody, not the devil. Nobody is saying, everybody the devil say, I like that guy's sermon. it's a nice sermon. So you say, why can't we be preaching like this? Why can't we, you know? And they said, they lifted their voice in one accord. Lord God that made the heavens and the earth. What you said, by the, you know why they said that? Because they were meditating upon it. So they were led by the Spirit because they were meditating upon the word of God. When you see a Christian saying he doesn't know whether God is talking to him or her, the person is not feeding on the word. Simple. It's not feeding on the word. Because you will know he's talking to you. He will point your attention to a text. He will show you a story in scripture. He'll say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what's going on in Acts 4. They knew they were led. They knew they were led. You will know the leading of the Spirit because there will be motifs, examples available. You want to do something in your office. You're upset. That's why I want some of you who are having a meeting and they will be using terminologies that they're using in their office in church. I said, you have not drawn the line. That is a symptom. I'm saying this again for a purpose. It's a symptom that you are not drawing a line. So when you are at work, the word of God is not on your mind. So you just react. When everybody's talking at the management meeting, you just say yes. You just talk. You see Muslims speak. You see Shintoists speak. You see Hare Krishna speak. You see believers speak. Everybody, someone say, believer how? B-O-L. Believer on leave. They say, you're talking and say, yes, you are true, you're right. Mr. So-and-so, yes. And you say, what? Where is the leading of the Spirit here? We took a professional decision. I am in the flesh. If you are not careful, you now come to church among believers because you have already cast off restraints. You now be saying the same thing. I think that I've entered the flesh. But when you are there, and then there's a problem, as you want to act in the flesh, you just see your heart just raise in scripture. Genesis 13, let there be no strife. And you see, Abraham and Lot. And you say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And you now see Ephesians 6, masters, Colossians 3, First Timothy 6. Masters. I say, oh, there was a master in scripture. His name was Abraham. There was a master in scripture. His name was, and that's the Holy Ghost leading you. And you are acting in the world. Who's following what I'm saying here? So, I'm not hearing from God. Have you been feeding on the word? Because his voice is the voice of his word. You will see the illustration. It will come to you. Whether it's a boss or employee, or husband and wife, if it's a wife, your husband says something. He says, or your wife, you know, somebody said, he said, you won't stay in this house tonight, to the wife. So I called the brother. I said, how many pastors do you have? You're my pastor, sir. I said, no. You heard that from somewhere. It's not here. You could not have heard it from here. You heard that either from your family or movie. Where did you hear it from? You take your load and leave this house. You heard it from somewhere. You could have heard it here. You're feeding on something else. You're watching all these movies. And then you see how they are reacting. Yes! I like this, you already take nonsense. So you're already reacting. The husband comes home. I can't kill myself. You are in the flesh. But when you hear it, that remember the women, holy women, because that will be in your heart. Says Sarah, called her husband Lord. I said, no, that's Old Testament. God, yeah, good Lord. It's honey pie. You know? Nothing wrong with that. But what they are saying is acting on the word of God. And you know, so you call your husband and your classmates will say, what's all this thing you are doing to yourself? No, you guys should, this old school now. Person talking to you, you know, doesn't even have a Bible. You see, I get your point. Which point? You are watching all these things and they're reforming your life. And you get to your office, you behave like what you are watching. You talk to But when you are meditating on the word day and night, you will find the leading of the Spirit easy to discern. Who's following what I'm saying here? So, day and night, observe to do all that is therein. So, when we now have instances of specifics, you will now pray. That is a yumi, mami. You will now pray in the Spirit. You are praying in the Spirit. But when you pray in the Spirit, watch this. With that meditation on the Word of God, it's like taking a journey halfway. Halfway. Praying the Holy Ghost. Have you noticed that? When you study the word regularly and you are praying the Spirit, what you study comes to your mind more. Who notices that? More. But when you come and you're praying the Spirit, you're just remembering film, movie. Just remembering, I've not concluded that assignment. I should have gone to see Yalogi. What happened? I didn't even take I've not done my air. Plus 6 minus 10. That's what's going on. You'll be remembering all things. And you know, have you been praying in tongues and then you're angry at somebody that did something? See, it's my daily, my deep. Are you praying in tongues? I will deal with it. Prayer group. It shows that you are not meditating on God's word. You are full of the word. You are praying the Spirit. So praying the Spirit does not take that responsibility away to meditate day and night. 1 Timothy 4:15 say your profiting will appear unto all. So then you start having the inward witness as the scriptures come. And you begin to meditate. And you say, yes, Lord. And you see it. What's the inward witness? We say, it's the witness of the human spirit born again. that endorses, refutes, agrees, disagrees with a fact exposed to it. With a fact exposed to it. And just praying the Holy Ghost. And I said, yes, thank you, Lord. You know, you just know, yes. Because you're full of the word. But if you go in the logic will just say, you know, you are calculating, you are calculating, you are calculating. You are just making, you know, calculations. Well, yeah, no. That's not what God is telling you. I pray in the Holy Ghost. So I'll just say a few things. We'll continue from there next week. I learned something from, let me put this aside. I said, As you are being led by the Spirit, you begin to see scenes of scripture, texts of scripture, phrases, pictures, right? And they will likely replace scenes that came just from your mind. So usually, in leading of the Spirit, there's a war. There's a war of what I would have done and what I should do. You'll find that. So oftentimes when people tell me, sir, I say, go and pray. Go and pray in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, feed on the Word of God. You are not serious. Someone was believing God for healing. So I went to the person's house just to check and we're trusting God. And I saw the person. Those are the days of compact disc. No. Was it compact? Yeah. So I saw, and compact discs were very new then. This was in the 90s. Maybe middle 90s or maybe 97 or so. So I saw that. I said, I now began to see movie. Batman. I can't remember the movie I saw. Die Hard? License to Kill. In the house of somebody believing for healing. Die Hard. Die Twice. Yeah? And you are believing God. And the only Christian thing there, movie, song. Lift him up. You know a song, sometimes you're just using it for entertainment. You just replace Mariah Carey with Darlene Check. And you're feeling the same way. One sister like that. I noticed that she will be crying. Even songs that are supposed to be just, you know, I think it was Sister Tope. I won't say the person's name. So when I went to check her, she was not playing, "You are my strength," when she was not crying. I said, now I get it. I don't get it. Anytime we say there is no like you are crying, what is the point? Is Jesus your boyfriend? Say, you are beautiful beyond this creature. It's a damn set that comes to your mind. Your love is better than like. You are just enjoying the song. So I said, you have all this? Say, yes, sir. Not a single one on healing. I'm not cursing you. You are trusting God. You are not listening to any series on the leading of the Spirit. You are not even serious. You are not saying you want, well, listen to traffic radio. That's yeah. And if you know, now they are doing something on radio, life affairs. And you are trusting God for leading. You want to be clear. And you are pretending you are praying in tongues. Listen to life affairs. What is the relationship? Life affairs. I say, hello? Yes. I'm calling from Anonymous. I'm calling from Onija. I'm calling from Zaria. From Abeokuta. There is this woman that's my neighbor. That's how she says, hey! Your priest doesn't go, hey! Say, hey! This lie! This lie! You cannot be led! You play rapid radio. You play this one. They say, This one say, Then you say, the story of somebody. There's one thing like that they used to do. This guy that, Chas B. You know Chas B? Oh, you know, I think Cool FM. So then I'm coming from office then, VI. every evening. They tell you, and you're talking stories. I think something true life stories. People will bring stories.
So I told the car, I said, if you are not careful, this will be your meditation day and night.
This one. I said, well, listen to it again. Again. I just went to, so I don't like buying pirated copies. But that day, I just said, why are they looking at today? Oh. Yeah.
Because before you know it, you don't be thinking all those things. Ah, is that all my life I'm listening to now?
Yeah. And your life got another pattern. You are praying in tongues. You are watching a Chelsea game. What is wrong with you?
You have to know God's will.
So now, Roy Hicks said something. I know. Roy Hicks, you know, Brother Higgins, he used to be the general overseer of Foursquare. He said, when you have light and you are looking for light, you get darkness. What are you praying about? You have prophecies. You are looking for, you're now trying to get cancer. You are calling, talking to people. Some of you sit down in your office and they are canceling you. Somebody that just, maybe, you don't know where it's coming from. I just say, in my own opinion, no, the guy is canceling you and talking to you. And you know, I say, I think he has sense. Which sense? Doesn't have sense. He's an unbeliever. So let me conclude a few things. I'm going to build on this next time. How does God's direction look like? The first thing is that, let me mention this. The first thing is that his direction is like an instruction. It will come like an instruction. Do this. Don't do it. It will come with an instruction. An instruction. Secondly, it will come with encouragement. It could come with encouragement. I've had God do that to me and I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm not happy about something and I'm praying in the spirit, feeding on the word of God. Then he encourages me. And there are times he will correct you. That's the part. Now, let me say something. You cannot lie here. Eh? You cannot lie. There's nobody that likes correction. No lie. Don't say, I'm always willing. I'm open, Lord. What? He's not paying you. Nobody, you just feel like, because oftentimes you think you are right. And then you are corrected. And you go, you know? And you feel like, wow. And you know, you had already set your plan. You want to do it that way. And that's how you want to. There was someone that told me, he said, sir, tell me what's on your heart. I couldn't say it. You had gone to purchase passport. The passport was somebody else's name. You now bear a name above all names. The person came to me as was going to the airport. Said, sir, if you tell me not to go, I won't go. I said, I will never do that. For the rest of my life, I'll be a dear to you. I'll be a witch, a wizard. I want God to see the person later and say, you know, I wish you told me that day. I wish I said, I will now tell you. You will now stay in meetings. Because it was a few years ago, 2000 and something. You now stay in the meetings and I'll be seeing you frown. I'm explaining the word and say, the Bible says, and say, let's pray in the spirit. Everybody's praying. And they say, that's why I'm not praying. I'm praying now. But you're not, my mouth is moving. I'm praying. because of the correction. So that part is the one, you know, we like the encouragement part. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful. He's always faithful. When he's encouraging you, when he's correcting you, you have been faithful, Lord. Correction is for our good. It doesn't kill. It's to adjust. I'll close here. Correction is to adjust. So the leading of the Spirit can come in for correction. We are on a journey to perfection, so we should expect to be corrected. Correction is not fault finding. Fault finding is when I tell you what you have done wrong, but would not give you a direction as to what to do. And correction from God's Spirit does not bring condemnation and guilt. It will bring remorse, you know, and what you can call repentance. But really, it's remorse. It's like,
okay, I should do this now. So don't forget, the voice of the Spirit will come as an instruction, as an encouragement, and also as correction. Don't get used to one against the other. Be open to any. Times in praying, and just say, no, don't do it that way. And you know, you do it this way. And let me say something I do. Obedience leads to more. If just by the inward witness, just like Paul, Acts 20:22, you just knew you have to do this and you are doing it. Sometimes you are not even clear in your head. Oftentimes, and I've seen this in my life many times, and I saw it in Paul as well, God will now give you the facts. You will now see it. And it will be obvious to you. Hallelujah. You will now see it. So, instructions. A believer walks with God through instructions. Walk with instructions. Instructions. I will talk about this later. Sometimes in the local assembly, when something is said, that's God talking to you. And if you come to workers' company, when you're there, we're going to explain a few things to you. You know, assuming Pastor Wale is talking to you, you know, he's a person of the figure of authority and he's talking. The day you start to feel, what have I done for him? You have moved to the flesh. Let me say something. Even sometimes, when people who are in spiritual authority, when they are just acting, maybe acting upset, acting, see, God still uses people like that to talk to you. So, you ensure you are not in the flesh. Your own is to make sure you are not in the flesh. And you prayerfully take those things and act on them. You learn something? Let's just pray in tongues a bit. Just pray in tongues.